welcome to installment 203 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of Positive Commandment 113, the commandment regarding the red heifer or Para Aduma.
The laws of the Para Aduma, or red heifer, are described at the beginning of Parshas Chukos in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. This red heifer was used for purification purposes, specifically for a person who had become impure as a result of contact with a dead person, as we discussed in the previous shiurim. As indicated in the parsha, the purification procedure began with the burning of the red heifer. After it was slaughtered, it was burned until its body turned into ashes. The ashes were thereupon mixed with mayim chayim, with water from a well or a spring, and some of this mixture was sprinkled upon people that were tameh, or impure, and thereupon purifying them and allowing their re-entrance into the temple grounds, the Beis HaMikdash. The many specific and complex laws for governing which kind of animal could be used for this procedure. As the name entails, red heifer, the animal had to be completely red. Even two hairs on the entire animal, which were not red, would invalidate this animal from being used. In addition, it had to be a para, meaning it could not be young, it had to be fully grown, a minimum of 3 or 4 years. An older animal was also valid. However, usually they would not wait longer for fear that the animal would develop black hairs or white hairs as it aged. In addition, this animal had to be always kept in a resting condition, not having done any sort of work whatsoever. If one had plowed with the animal, it was thereupon invalid to be used. Even if one had only leaned on the animal for support, or had taken one's garment and placed it on the animal to dry, these acts would be considered work for the animal and would invalidate it for being used as a sacrifice. It was usually extremely difficult to find such an animal, and the Medrash tells a story that once the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, was unable to find such an animal and had to send out messengers to find an animal anywhere available. They finally found one in the possession of a certain non-Jew. They asked to buy it, and the non-Jew offered a price for which he would sell it. In the interim, however, when the sages went to obtain the money, he was informed by his neighbors that the reason they needed it was for their ritual process, meaning for the Para Aduma, the red heifer. And they informed him that he should get a much higher price. He thereupon held out for a higher price when they returned. And the messengers of the Sanhedrin were forced to take it, since this red heifer was so badly needed, and it was the only way to purify people who had become impure through a dead body. When they returned for the higher amount of money, the non-Jew decided to play a joke, since he had already found out that the animal could not be worked and would otherwise be invalid. When they were gone, he put a yoke on the animal and plowed his field with this red cow. However, the sages examined the animal before they gave the money, and they had two signs by which one can tell if an animal has been used for plowing. There are two certain hairs which, after an animal has plowed, they are no longer straight but bent. In addition, an animal which has never been under the yoke has a very steady gaze. But after it has worked once, it squints its eyes and turns around to see if the yoke is going to be placed on it. This animal had both signs of an animal which had been worked. And they told the non-Jew that you're not getting a penny and we're not taking the cow because it's invalid. Having lost this tremendous amount of money, the Medrash concludes by telling us that the non-Jew committed suicide. All the laws relating to exactly how this red heifer is sacrificed are related in the tractate Parah. The Rambam tells us in Sefer HaMitzvahs that the ashes of the red heifer had to be constantly on hand, mukhenes, in order to help purify someone that was impure. And this is learned from the statement in the verse in chapter in verse 9 in the same chapter, v'hoyos ol adas b'nei Yisrael l'mishmeres, that these, the ashes of the red heifer, will be guarded, will be kept on hand for the Jewish congregation. In his legal code, the Rambam tells us that the ashes of each individual heifer were divided into three sections. One of them was divided among the watches of the Kohanim, and this was used to purify the Kohanim. Another one was sent on Har HaMishcha, on the mountain where the animal itself was sacrificed. And these ashes were preserved in order to purify any of the Jewish people who wished purification. A third section was placed in the chil, the area immediately inside the wall of the temple. This was just kept there, preserved for all generations. As the Rambam says, this is one of the meanings of the word l'mishmeres, that it should always be kept there as a remembrance and preserved for all generations. As the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita points out in Lakutas Sichas, however, the main thing it was kept on hand for, in other words, the main reason why the ashes of the red heifer had to be preserved, were not merely to sit in this chil, where they were used only by the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Rather, they must be kept on hand for all Jews to be purified immediately upon their desire. Why is this commandment so important that we must keep the ashes of the red heifer constantly on hand for immediate use? The Rebbe explains this by saying we must examine with the spiritual meaning behind the purification of the red heifer and the impurity which it comes to rectify. The impurity of the parah associated with the parah aduma is tumas meis, the impurity associated with the dead person, which in spiritual terms means a person who is separated from God and separated from godliness. Since as the verse says, Atem hadvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayim, that you who cleave to Hashem, you are the truly living ones. Then therefore, in a way, anyone who deviates from cleaving to Hashem through non-performance of mitzvahs or neglect of the Torah, in a way is going through, in a certain extent, a spiritual death in a small extent. And just as there is a way in the Torah to rectify the impurity associated with a dead person, namely by the ashes of the red heifer, so too there is a remedy for this spiritual sort of death, and that is tshuva, or repentance. And this is why there was so much stress placed on the ashes of the red heifer, because its spiritual counterpart, the idea of tshuva, or return, or rectification, is such a central idea to Jewish thought that everyone, even those who are not far from Torah mitzvahs, are constantly in need of return, of tshuva, and of advancing an additional closeness to God. Since this is such an important idea, therefore it is stressed in the idea of the Parah Aduma that it must be constantly on hand for all Jews to have access to it. This is stressed in another detail of the laws of the Parah Aduma, that it was unusual among the sacrifices in that it was offered not within the temple grounds, but had to be offered outside the temple, on the Har HaMishcha, a mountain facing the Beis HaMikdash. For each red heifer that was sacrificed, a special ramp was built, and a procession was made from the temple grounds across the valley to this mountain. And there, chutz l'machane, outside the holy environment of the temple, only there could the red heifer be offered. Why is it that it had to be offered in such a place, rather than inside the temple grounds? We would think the opposite. Since this is such a holy sacrifice, certainly it would have to be offered in the temple.
However, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the Parah Aduma was a completely different type of sacrifice. All sacrifices which were brought in the temple could only atone for an unintentional sin, Shegeg. However, the Parah Aduma had the intense power of being able to purify and atone even for sins which were done intentionally, Zdeines. Therefore, the proper place for the Parah Aduma was outside the temple ground, in an unholy place, that since the Parah Aduma could convert and reverse even unholy acts and unholy thoughts, and reverse them to holiness, and completely atone for them. And even as the Talmud says in Yuma, Zdeinis nasalei kezochyes, that intentional sins can be converted, and through proper tshuva can be actually converted to mitzvahs. So too the Parah Aduma was sacrificed outside the temple grounds, in order to take even non-holy places, and convert them to holiness. In his legal code, the Rambam tells us that from the times of Moses until the last red heifer was sacrificed, there was a total of 9 paras adumais. The 10th, representing the ultimate purification, the Rambam tells us, will come through Melech HaMashiach, through Mashiach. And he concludes by saying, Meheri Yigole Amen Kein Yehi Ratzin, and speedily may he be revealed. And may it be Hashem's will that this happen. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.